You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
Hey, welcome back. A lot happening in college athletics, and we hear so much about NIL and the pressures. Our next guest has done a deep dive into that and wondering, after reading Seth Emerson in The Athletic, whether his story on Matt Luke may be a harbinger of things to come. Luke, who was very successful at Ole Miss as an assistant, moved up to be the head coach after the dismissal of his predecessor, and then went on to Georgia and helped play a big role in the success of Kirby Smart. Seth Emerson joins us. Seth, thank you very much. Appreciate you you being here, as always. Really interesting deep dive here into Matt Luke. Good afternoon, and take us through it.
Thanks, Paul. You know, I've actually dealt with this with coaches for years. I remember doing a story on Mark Richt's assistant coaches entering what turned out to be the final year of the Mark Richt era, 2015, on just the time pressures, the time management that coaches face. And of course, the comeback to that is, well, they're paid a lot of money to have these very good jobs that a lot of people would want in order to sacrifice family time and other things, but mainly family time. And Matt Luke is somebody who said, you know what, that's it, I'm out. And he says in the piece, he explains in the piece, and the natural inclination for a lot of people is to say, well, these changes in college football, NIL, the transfer portal, that has something to do with it. I specifically asked him about that, and he said it didn't. He said he'd be making the decision without them. But he didn't deny that those are an added pressure now or an added factor. But it's mainly, as he put it, the anxiety and pressure to do a good job. And he felt like he could continue to do the job as a college football assistant coach, but he wouldn't be able to both put the time into it that is needed to do a great job and to watch his kids grow up. And he made a decision that I think a lot of college football coaches would like to be able to make.
And Seth, as you well know, it's not only the coaches, it's people across the board in intercollegiate athletics right now who are beginning to walk away, not all of them near retirement age. Let's talk specifically about Matt, though, because he's such a genuine guy from my limited experience with him. People at Ole Miss loved him, as they did at Georgia. Is there no way to find balance? Because, I mean he's making a lot of money. He's got a lot of responsibility, but it's hard to find jobs like that.
Right, and the thing is, the reason that there isn't this mass exodus right now, the reason that Matt Luke is still more the exception is, and he'll be the first to tell you, and he did, that he was in a place where he could do that. Number one, financially. Now, I think a lot of us would love to make the money that all these coaches make, but Matt Luke had 3 years as Ole Miss's head coach plus a buyout on top of that, plus 2 years at Georgia where he was paid just under $1 million to be the O-line coach. But also just the place he was, what he had done in his career. He was the head coach at Ole Miss, his alma mater, his wife, where he met his wife, there's so much family there, for 3 years. It didn't end well, but he had that job. And then he goes to Georgia and wins a national championship. So not a lot of people are in that kind of, you know, trajectory and have had those things. I think there's a lot of coaches that have the strain of everything they have to do time management wise and time away from the family, but they haven't, they still feel like they've got unfinished business. And Matt Luke didn't at this point feel like he had unfinished business. He felt like he had checked off two major things, coaching, being the head coach at his alma mater, and getting a ring.
You're right. He has money in the bank, or if you look at the stock market closed today, maybe he doesn't anymore. But my point being, what does he do now? He's still a relatively young man.
He watches his kids play Little League ball. I'd actually, Paul, been thinking of reaching out to him anyway, but I actually saw him at a Little League game. My son was playing on one field, and his son was playing on the other, and I reached out to him after seeing that. And when I interviewed him, he was on a break. He had just taken his son to another Little League practice and was just kind of waiting a couple hours for the practice to end and pick him up and go home. I asked him, do you get back into coaching at some point? And he said, and obviously this can change in a year or two, you miss it. But he said he doesn't think he'd get back into coaching. I mean, you do hear, Paul, a lot of college coaches say that they'd love an NFL job because you don't have the recruiting aspect of it. But in Matt Luke's case, he said that the recruiting part is one thing, but the NFL season is still the same. It's still in the fall, and that he wants to see his sons play fall baseball, or one of his sons plays in a Little League team here in Athens that is coached by David Pollock. Got a little small world here in Athens. And so he wants to watch them grow up, and he'll get back in. He'll do something at some point. I mean, he's only 45, but it's just something, the rat race that he didn't want to be in now.
Seth, I know I'm getting way beyond maybe either one of us, our qualifications, but does this say anything about society today? Because this is unusual, but it's not shocking today versus maybe 30 years ago or 40 or 50 years ago when we lived in a different world, when that's just not the way anybody rolled.
I think we all know people who have bowed out after the pandemic, and that has crystallized a lot of things for people. I just got back from a vacation, a Las Vegas vacation, with my two best friends from high school, who have both retired at the same age that I am, which is 45, which is the same age as Matt Luke. Now, Matt Luke is a SEC football coach, and my two best friends from high school are a doctor and a lawyer.
Right.
As happy and as well compensated as I am at The Athletic, I am not retiring anytime soon. But there's a lot of people that, I mean, a common denominator for a lot of people is that they have kids. And the pandemic, spending time with their kids, made them realize that they're not seeing them grow up the way they want to. But the other common denominator is that these people can afford to. They can afford the great resignation to step aside. And I know there's the service industry and other industries that are less about people have built up a portfolio and a financial portfolio in order to quit. But this is one part of it, that at the high end, you do have a lot of people who are essentially saying, I now realize that family is more important than spending a few more years here and padding my retirement fund a little bit more.
Yeah, and Seth, I think COVID did create this a lot, because people, although I have read now, what does that mean? That a lot of people who walked away during the pandemic now are trying to get back in. I'm not talking about Matt Luke. I'm just talking generally.
Yeah, I think you'll see that. I don't know whether a lot of those people are, kind of on the lower income rung of it. I mean, at least compared to the Matt Lukes and the doctors and the lawyers who are leaving. But there's a lot of people that, he'd probably kill me for mentioning it, but I will anyway. My friend Jake Rowe stepped aside from a good job at Dogs 24/7, the 24/7 affiliate here, beat writer. And, whether he gets in or not, gets back in the near future, long-term future, we'll see. But all I know is every time I talk to Jake, he's really enjoying watching his kids. And spending time with his kids right now.
No, Seth, you're right. And we I come from your background in writing. And I don't know too many writers who are happy these days. I mean, it's a grind. It never ends.
Yeah.
And it's frankly a little different than it used to be. When I came up, you didn't have, once you turned in a story, yeah, you kind of had to babysit it, but you didn't have social media concerns.
Yeah. I mean, the worst part about it is that you can't put the phone away. You worry that there might be some story. When Georgia was going through a basketball search, I never felt like I could go to sleep until like 10:30 or so. And even then, you're like, okay, are we good? Are we good? But then there's always the uncertainty. You may think that you've got all your bases covered. You've touched base with all your sources. Nothing is happening, and then something can come out of the blue and happen. And the thing is that's from a reporter standpoint, but the Matt Lukes of the world, they face that. He describes in the story, he was at his son's birthday party at a Harry Potter ride, and they're in line for this Harry Potter ride, and he's having to arrange with his recruiting office for a recruit to get tickets to the Clemson game in a couple months. And that there's always something like that. And it's not so much the outward pressure. It's not that like Kirby Smart was always down his throat saying work, work, work. It was the inward pressure to do a good job.
Sure.
To, if I'm not recruiting right now, what are my counterparts doing? What's Alabama doing right now? What's Florida doing right now? And at some point that just gets to be a lot for people.
Tremendous job about not only football, but about life and family. Seth, many, many thanks. Appreciate it. Be well. Take care of yourself. Seth Emerson joining us from The Athletic. I will say this. I've known a lot of coaches who have not walked away, but been fired. And almost everyone, no matter how old they are, has wanted to get back. It is tough to walk away from something in a competitive world like Matt Luke has been in. I wish him well, but he'll need some help once he gets through it. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
More interesting news. This one's coming out of the ACC meetings. Right now, this is the time for meetings. The SEC, as I mentioned, 3 weeks away. So what we're talking about here are essentially several models with two permanent opponents and six rotating off and on. Divisions will be gone. And that is, it's a little bit of a different model than what I hear the SEC is talking about, because there are, because what we're talking about is the addition of two more schools with Texas and Oklahoma. Let's get back to the calls at 855-242-7285. And Ken is up next in Tennessee. Hello, Ken.
Hey, Paul, how are you today?
We are doing well. Thank you.
Yeah, I was calling in regards to the Blake Topmeyer interview today.
Sure.
About the Tennessee situation. You know, I follow the situation closely at Tennessee, longtime fan, and he said something about no consequences so far to Tennessee. Well, we've been playing with like 70 scholarship players for the last 2 years at least, which is like 15 down from how many you authorized.
Well, let me jump in one second. He's talking about consequences from the NCAA. Now, you're right. Tennessee lost two or three wins just with the departures off that team.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Right. And so it's suffering. Nobody knows what's going on. What happened? Anything. Today is the first thing I've heard anything about paying players from Mr. Topmeyer. So I don't know where people
I think his phrase was impermissible benefits.
Okay. Well, that nailed it down.
Yeah.
Listen, yeah.
There's no question it's a mystery right now. But Tennessee felt like they did the right thing in the moment, that they were being moral. But in the end, I mean, you cannot render a verdict until it's all over, because what's happened since then, from a model standpoint, has been blowing up the system. So it would be very interesting if Tennessee gets sanctioned by the NCAA for things that are now not perfectly, but mostly legal.
Right, but it would be quite American
thing
to do. Well,
it would be a travesty, if you ask me. I think the NCAA just ought to throw the thing away and say, hey, you know what, Tennessee, you did something most schools don't do. You threw yourself at the mercy of the court. You fired your coach. You showed your athletic director to the door. We are going to congratulate you and say, Chancellor Plowman, you're a beacon of the way things should be, but that's not the way the NCAA is.
Right. Well, at least Tennessee does have some adults leading the way finally.
Oh, you're right about that.
It's been a zoo.
Completely right. Hey, thank you very, very much. Ranger is in Knoxville. Hello, Ranger.
Hey, Paul, hope you're well today.
Thank you.
On Friday, I had called and started this story about what I said in 1982.
Yeah, sorry, we just ran out of time there. I'm sorry.
Yeah. And I really don't want to repeat that. But I believe it was late January the next year that he died.
Brian died on January 26, 1983, and the game you're talking about was in October of 82.
83, yeah. Yeah, the game I'm talking about was in 82. But anyway, I was on my way to my after-school job, and it came across the radio that he had died. And I had to find the first spot that I could, which happened to be a cow pasture, to pull over, because I felt punched in the gut, and I actually had to throw up those words that came out of my mouth to that man were the last things and the only things that I ever got to say to him.
And you had, if I remember correctly, you had told Bryant where to go, right?
Yes, unfortunately, as a 17, 18-year-old kid.
Right.
And a couple of callers jumped on that, and with the information they had, they were right to be upset with me. But it's one of the biggest. I don't have a lot of regrets in life, but I truly regret that. And I don't. That's one. I was trying to tie it into what Jim said, that he doesn't talk about sports anymore. I try to stay away from attacking people involving sports. because it can get ugly, and it can become almost a religious experience. And I hear it in a, and I'm not picking on it, but a lot of Alabama fans seem to have embraced that, and that Alabama's going to reign forever. They're superior, but I would encourage them just to enjoy it while they can, while it's present. And the personal attacks, I don't like that. And I will say that I did pass that spot on the road today when I was coming back from visiting my dad, who's in the veterans nursing home here in Knoxville. And I finally got them to get SEC Network on their TVs, because he enjoys your show. He enjoys history. He was the head ticket taker, what they called him at the time, and he reported directly to Haywood Harris. And that's why I had access to all the things that I was fortunate enough to do. But I did want to complete the story.
Well, I'm glad you did. And you mentioned Haywood Harris, who was such a wonderful help to me during my brief tenure on Rocky Top. Thank you very much for sharing that. We'll take a short break. A couple more guests. We got a lot of time remaining. Stick around.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We are back, and if you want to get in, we'd be more than happy to talk to you. Phone number is 855-242-7285. Let's check in with Dwayne, who is in Mississippi. Hello, Dwayne.
Hey, Paul. How you doing today?
We are doing great, Dwayne. Thank you.
Good, good. I was talking to you guys, and they was talking about the NIL stuff. And, you know, back when I was about 5 or 6 years old. No, I was in second grade. I'm sorry. So I was about 7. We had a guy that went to our high school, and his name was Willie Shelby.
Oh, yeah.
And he was recruited by Barry Bryant.
Sure was.
And my daddy and my uncle gathered money, gave him a bus ticket so he could get up there. The following Christmas, he has a brand new car sporting it around town when he come back after for the holidays. So, I mean, they've been people getting paid for years. I hate to tell that on Alabama. I'm a huge Alabama fan. But what they going to do, fire Barry Bryant now?
They should.
Yeah, it's been happening. Do you remember Willie Shelby, Paul?
I do, yes. I sure do. And that's a great story. And by the way, that was pretty common back then and throughout history.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I just don't understand all the big fuss now. I mean, it's just open market is a real big difference. I get, and a lot more money. But that was one of them, what do they call it, brown bag special, drop bag special,
yeah, I mean,
or something.
There are a million stories about those days where, you know, suddenly a recruit would go out to the driveway and there'd be a brand new car there.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Oh, and I got updated on the Missouri-Alabama controversial home run yesterday.
Yes, what happened?
It was two away, and it was two girls on base, and when Prangy hit the ball, they called it over the fence, but it actually hit the top of the fence and back and came back in. Well, two runs would have scored regardless, and Missouri never scored another run, so it would have been 2-1 instead of 3-1.
Okay.
So it wouldn't have been a big change.
Up.
Yes, sir. Okay, thank you, Paul.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Sure, Willie Shelby's happy with that story out. Rod is up next. Hey, Rod. Go ahead.
Hey, Paul, how you doing? Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Thank you.
I just, you know, Paul, you know, listen, the last several weeks, I'm a long-time college sports fan. The NCAA, what are these people doing? You know, I went back and read what Justice Breyer said. And, you know, he said, look, the last thing we need to be doing is judges up here. He said, I know nothing about sports. Why is this in my lap? And the NCAA had 3 years to try to fix it. Now we're talking about Congress getting involved. You know, these guys can't even decide, Democrats, Republicans, can't even decide how to oil a squeaky front door, screen door. You know, what, you know, and I was trying to figure out, what are these guys doing, Paul? I mean, they're taking in over, the NCAA taking in over $1 billion a year, over 3,000 employees. Can we prevent this thing from getting to Washington and getting entangled in the mess with Congress? I mean,
Rod, the answer is no, not at this point, for this reason. And when we talk about the NCAA, let me be clear about this. Yes, the governing body is ultimately responsible, but all these conferences are part of the NCAA, and no one could agree on a model. There were four or five models that would have put some limitation on the amount of money, primarily money that would be necessary to do whatever students needed. But nobody could agree on it. The NCAA president was absolute. We cannot pay athletes. They're amateurs. And we ended up in this mess where all these states started going out and creating their own legislation. And what I think the commissioner said the other day, and the SEC and others have said, is that, you know, what's going on is in compliance with the individual state laws. It may be in conflict with the NCAA policy, but they have already ceded their rights. And you're right. And when the Supreme Court was not ruling on NIL, but they were sending a message, don't go wasting our time on these matters. And I think the fear right now, and the NCAA is talking a big game, but the fear is, if you go after a school or an individual, they're going to come right back at you, and you're going to get an antitrust lawsuit here, which is the biggest nightmare right now of college athletics.
Right.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Right. And you know, Paul, on the state legislator piece, and I know it kind of all started with California.
Right.
But I know here in Florida, they were in a scramble to try to get something passed because they were worried about the national, you know, implications and, of course, what the court was doing. So I think a lot of these state legislators got their hands forced because they didn't really want to do anything. And this thing has just gotten so out of control.
But Rod, tell me if I'm wrong on this. You know, but to your point, down in Florida, they started getting worried that other states would have an advantage over Florida. So
exactly. Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, that thing got rushed through the legislature. And the legislator never does anything in a hurry, as you know, in most states. But this thing was like fast track because they were concerned, I think, after, you know, seeing California in motion. And then, of course, it, you know, in the NCAA just not taking any action, you know, and then going all the way to the court, like Justice Breyer said, it is just so in like a whirlwind. And I think it could get worse. Do you think it could get worse if it gets in D.C. and these, you know,
yeah, because,
these people,
I mean,
can't agree on anything?
Think about the makeup in D.C. of legislators. There are certain aspects of Washington that are never going to try to curtail an individual from making money. How can you? If you're
right, and I agree with that. I think they should make money, absolutely.
So you're going to run it. I think they could get some uniform policy, but it won't be anytime soon. And, you know, right now, what the commissioners are doing, it's just essentially lobbying. And there's nothing wrong with that. You do need to. And I was with Greg Sankey not that long ago, and he's already been to Washington. This trip just got a lot of publicity because Kliakoff leaked the story. But you can bet that Greg Sankey has constantly talking to senators in Washington, because you have to right now. There's a lot of business up there. You got a former coach who's a senator, so you are connected through Tommy Tuberville. You may have another one and a former player in a couple of months, depending on the election in Georgia. Yeah, Marsha Blackburn, who is a Mississippi State graduate, is the senator from Tennessee right now, and she's been one of the most outspoken. Cory Booker, the senator from New Jersey, is a former player. What did Cory play at Stanford? I can't remember where he played. But you don't really want to trust them because if you follow Washington politics, you don't know what's going to happen with that bill. That bill could be linked to countless other bills. So, and besides, Washington does not have an appetite for this right now. They may next year, but the way this country's going, they will likely have bigger problems. Let's take a short break. We are taking your phone calls here. A couple more guests to go. We're coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
They mentioned that he was a former player for the Eagles, which he's not. Devontae having a little fun, bringing in a little pop culture by saying, damn, got fired on my day off. That is funny. It's a good day to get fired, though.
Sure, every team day is a good day to get
fired. I'll probably get fired live on the air, don't you think?
Absolutely.
I mean, there will be a guy that will walk in here, and there will literally be a pink slip that he hands me. And I'll take the envelope, or the envelope in this case. And it'll say, Mr. Feinbaum, we wish you well in your future endeavors. Please leave your company ID on the way out. And P.S., don't let the door hit you. That's what happened to the guy that was here the other day. Ryan is in Cincinnati. Hello, Ryan.
Grim Reaper, how's it going?
Reaping and reaping.
Hey, getting fired live on air like our guy Hunter Ford's a good thing. We know that. So, Paul.
Whatever, it's like, you ever read one of those articles? They used to have these articles where the guy would say, like, whatever happened to ... Whatever happened to Hunter Ford?
APB on him.
He's the only person that I know that, I think, that's ever been fired live on the show.
And I think you're trying your best.
I am.
We can get you back to Birmingham. That'd be Jim would be in his glory.
How did you? I'm going back to Birmingham to do a show with Jim. That's the new thing. It's going to be a podcast only.
Must listen to. Hey, Grim Reaper, Mike Griffin. Let me remind you of Danny Cannell.
Do we have to be reminded of Danny Cannell?
Oh, I hope not. I mean, we all need – I don't know who needed therapy more and is off their medication more, Griffith or Cannell. Jim laid out Cannell. I was hoping he'd come in and lay out Griffin.
Yeah, Danny Cannell he's still alive. I ran into him, I don't know, some game recently, a year or two ago. You know, sometimes you just don't remember when you run into people like Danny Cannell. But he's still doing a radio show.
And he's still obsessed with the SEC, probably.
I'm sure
he is. Trying to discredit them. I mean, it's like he has nothing better to do in his life than obsess about SEC dominance.
It's dangerous to obsess over the SEC in a negative way, though, because we will get you.
Exactly. I mean, they're the champs. Just deal with it, Danny.
Exactly.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I liked his alma mater. I love Bobby Bowden. I love Charlie Ward. But, I mean, Danny just – him and Griffin, their obsession with Alabama, my goodness. Get some therapy. Your wife's a doctor, right?
Correct, yes.
Oh, I'm sure she can recommend some good psychiatric units for them to get into.
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt. She's got I've seen the list. It's it's on the – you ever walk up to the refrigerator and there's like a – list of things to do that week. She's got that list on there for me.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure, like our boy back in the glory days, Shane, you had no problem sending some people into the mental institute.
Shane was good at that.
Yeah, I think Bobby needs therapy.
Yeah, we don't talk about him anymore.
Nah. So
he is still the only only caller to the Feinbaum show that's ever received a literal death penalty. He's been banned for life.
Well, I liked it when wasn't it Kiffin said when you tried to ban Jim from the show? Didn't Kiffin say that he was never coming back on your show until the ban was lifted?
You're right. He did say that.
He's your best interview, Paul. I love Kiffin.
You like Kiffin?
I mean, there's another guy. You could play the Miley Cyrus song as his theme song when he comes into the show.
How about the time? It was about a year and a half ago, and we were just going back and forth, and he just leveled me with that. Well, you know, have you apologized to me for getting me fired at Southern Cal yet? I like didn't know how to respond to that.
You know, hey, Paul, you should have called the Grammys and asked them why our boy Verno never got some type of nomination for his great song, A Share of the Damned.
That was it was a very, very good song. Hey, thanks, Ryan. I don't know what's in the air. Is there something in the air here? All of a sudden, I can't literally. The filters here you hear all these new because of COVID they have high tech filters you get on a plane. The filters in this building they take the air from outside filled with pollen and shoot it right into my mouth. Mitch is up next. Hello, Mitch.
Hello, man.
Good afternoon.
You're not Uncle Paul anymore.
Yeah, I'm officially done with that.
I took it away.
Yeah, I just felt like my other two nephews were getting jealous.
Well, so how was your weekend?
I don't have to answer that since you're no longer part of my family. Just kidding, Mitch. Don't get upset.
You don't hurt my feelings.
Mitch, we are all doing great at the Feinbaum household.
I wanted to ask you a question, and if you don't want to answer, that's fine. Of all the quarterbacks in the SEC history, the ones that we know of, like Peyton Manning and Tim Tebow, and recently Joe Burrow, put them aside, who is the best quarterback that you could think of?
Well, how many do we have to put aside to make way for this answer?
Anybody that's won the Heisman Trophy or was, you know, Peyton should have won, but.
Well, nobody cares anymore. We did that last week.
Well, I still care. I didn't ask you.
So, other than the quarterbacks who won the Heisman Trophy, including Peyton Manning, who should have, who is the best quarterback you've ever seen? Is that the question?
Yes.
I am not going to immediately answer that. Now, are we talking about in college football, period?
I'm talking about college football, yeah.
Yeah. It's a good question.
Well,
Dan Marino is one we'll throw in that list. We'll come up with a couple more here. Stetson Bennett? Colt McCoy? I don't know. Who do you have? Uncle Mitch?
We retired that word, uncle.
John Elway was good.
That was what I was getting ready to say. John Elway.
Joe Namath wasn't bad back in the day.
Or Troy Aikman.
Vince Young never won. I thought Vince won the Heisman.
I thought he did too, didn't he?
Oh, that's right.
Or he won the championship or something.
He should have won the Heisman.
But anyway.
I tell you what, I've got the perfect answer for you. Because I still regret not voting for this guy, but I Deshaun Watson.
Was he? Do you think? I mean, yeah, I think
you asked me a question. I answered it. This is not like English lit class in 11th grade, okay? We're coming back.